Mistress Keane was as round as she was tall and had a permanently red face and bright, beady eyes like a blackbird.
"I beg your pardon for interrupting, sir," she said with a glance at me as I stood demurely with the leather-bound book open in my hands, "but I'm afraid I have to report that we've been robbed of a duck, fresh caught and plucked just the other day."
My father bade her wait until I had finished my recitation, which I achieved, somehow, with only the faintest faltering in my voice.
"Well done, Eleanor," he said, indicating I might close the tome. "That was a pleasure to listen to."
"You think that giving me your story makes up for any of it?" I ask her. "All this time, you've been making me sit here listening to your life so that you could confess, and you think that your biography makes up for it?"
"No," she says. "I think you know me well enough by now to know I'm not nearly naive enough to believe in absolution."
"What, then?"
Evelyn reaches out and shows me the paper in her hand. "I found this in Harry's pocket pants the night he died. My guess is that he'd read it and it was the reason he'd been drinking too much to begin with. It was from your father."
They were participating in a grueling competition to become the handmaid to the new harpy queen. Of course, Nettie had no intention of actually being a handmaid. She was working undercover for the resistance, or at least she was trying to.
"Nettie, this is terrible work!"
Mrs. Smith, the harpy queen, roared, making Nettie's many boils wobble.
"Where are the delicate folds I asked for? The creaseless surface? The plump pillow?"
Nettie bent double and prodded the pillow with her finger in the hope that it might plump it. The three other important harpies, Miss Green, Miss Brown, and Miss Witherspoon, grinned smugly. Nettie gritted her mammoth teeth, thinking of her friend Odge.
"It'll be fine," Odge had said. "You'll be able to gather important information," Odge had said. "Nettie, you can't lose," Odge had said.
Nicholas released another breath against her neck, and before she knew what was happening, his lips brushed against her pulse. The caress was so light she could almost believe he'd done so unconsciously, shifting his head in his sleep and making contact without realising it. The slight touch of his lips to her neck brought her to complete wakefulness. Rapid messages zipped along her nerve endings, making her keenly aware of him and his beautiful body. One of his hands slid over her arm and he rubbed gently, as if to chase away the chill there. The other slipped to her waist, and his fingers found the bare patch of skin where her shirt had crept up. The touches in both places roused a sharp but sweet need deep inside. But before she could make sense of the contact, his lips pressed against her neck again, this time fully. Pleasure coursed through her, almost explosively. She nearly gasped, but closed her eyes and willed herself not to react. His lips didn't linger. Instead, he mumbled softly and incoherently, confirming that he was still asleep, that he didn't realise he was overstepping the boundaries they'd established. Was he thinking about her in his sleep? Or someone else?
Mr. Carfizzy shuddered. "Some poor man has proposed marriage to her, so she says, and now she's going to make his life a misery by moving in with him in..." He paused. "She told me where she was going, but I don't remember. She wants to say goodbye. She's leaving us tonight."
Lady Toad took a moment to ponder this. "It's a bit sudden," she said. Mr. Carfizzy shrugged. "Indeed it was."
Well, I suppose I had better go and say goodbye then," Lady Toad sighed.
For a moment they stood, one in front of the other, before the roaring fire, beneath the echoing 70-foot dome. Two small women in an insanely large room, waiting for the other to begin. Then they both began at once.
"I'm ever so sorry to disturb you, Lady Toad," began Mrs. Kamer, suddenly nervous, and fell silent.
"Carfizzy tells me you're leaving us," began Lady Toad in her frostiest voice. It was, of course, Lady Toad who continued. "I'm so sorry to hear it."
"I'm ever so sorry too," said Mrs. Kamer again. She'd been looking forward to this moment since the day she ever arrived at the job. And then she burst into tears.